Good morning. I want to bring the meeting to order today at 7 minutes after 9. It's Wednesday, April 14th, 2010. Please turn off any electronic devices if you haven't already done so. With me today, I have Senator Meyer to my right, and to my left, Senator Kukesh, and myself, Senator Menard. We also have Lisa here and Tom, thank you, welcome, and my committee aide, Sarah Munson. So we appreciate you. It's almost the end, and I want to thank you for all your help. You're always very professional, and I appreciate it. On the agenda this morning, we have House Bill 225, State Procurement Code. We've had a lot of dealings with this, and I am going to set this aside, and we will not take this up. So I'm going to go right to House Bill 348, Personnel Board Membership. Okay. This bill is brought forward by Representative Bob Lynn. He's going to be joining us, so I just ask again for your patience, and we'll just take a brief at ease. We're going to have the sponsor, staff, Michael Sitka. Would you come forward, please, and state your name for the record and your affiliation, and give us the sponsor's statement, please.
My name is Mike Sitka. I'm staff for Representative Bob Lynn. Representative Lynn is at a meeting where he has to help make a quorum, so I'd be glad to briefly go over this for you.
Okay. And just before you start, are we up and running okay, Lisa? Okay, thank you.
Again, this is Mike Sitka. Real quickly on this bill, what we're attempting to do here is what we're trying to do with 348 is try to help a board that has become of great interest to the public in recent years. As you know, they deal with complaints against the governor, the lieutenant governor, the attorney general. They have other duties as well, but what's really public is their powers and duties under the Executive Branch Ethics Act. In the last few years, they've become more and more involved with public policy issues. I know in some of the meetings, the board has discussed how do we release, for example, the high cost of defending against ethics complaints without violating confidentiality. They've talked about the AG looking into how can we recover fees from people that file frivolous complaints. I think the board, you have a lot of people that work very hard. They're not getting paid. They get a lot of heat that I feel is not, and Representative Lynn feels is not deserved. But they are a very public entity in, involved in issues that have become of great interest to a lot of people. Critics will still complain. Just like they do on, for example, the Select Committee on Ledge Ethics that has a similar charge for the executive branch that the Personnel Board in some ways has on the executive branch. But we feel we can take some of the sting out of those accusations by, justified or not, showing that the board is not just some rubber stamp for the governor who appoints them. Again, if you look at the State of Alaska website for the Personnel Board, it describes it as an independent agency appointed by the governor. That's exactly what the intent of this bill does. By involving the Chief Justice of the Supreme Court, we're hoping, although it's awkward for the courts, just as it's awkward for them to pick the five public members of the Select Committee on Ledge Ethics, we appreciate their reluctant impartiality, and we think it's working very well. And I think by having the Chief Justice nominate lists of people, while at the same time allowing the governor the right to request additional lists, we found a really good comfort zone that respects the governor's power and insulates the board. And so what the Chief Justice is really doing is just forwarding qualified names the governor is still picking. The fiscal note on this is zero. There are people here from the division that could testify why that is. Again, the intent of this bill is a broader representation by increasing the number from 3 to 5. By doing that, it's harder for the majority of the board to be appointed by any sitting governor. It's harder to capture a single mind for the whole board. By having, the governor make the appointment from the list from the Chief Justice, we're providing this important layer of insulation. By assuring that at least one member is from the political party of the candidate for governor with the highest number of registered voters and the second highest, we're giving a diversity of opinion. And then we put in a conflict section there. It's very similar to what you see for APOC, very similar to what you see in the Select Committee. Currently, the only conflict a board member would have is if they're a state employee. We think if we throw things in there like not being in office for a political party or running for office or lobbying, we've created a standard that's important to me. So that's basically the bill.
Questions from my committee members? Okay, go ahead. Senator Meyer.
Yes, thank you, Madam Chair. Thank you, Mike, for that presentation. It's my understanding the ethics board for the legislature is selected and chosen by the Chief Justice. Is that correct?
That's correct.
Uh-huh. And so my follow-up question would be, why don't we do the same with the governor's personnel board?
Through the chair. We looked at that. And the reason why, what you're saying is, why have additional lists?
Right.
The reason why is we felt in this case, it was the legislature in 1986 that decided to do this. They made the decision for themselves. So we don't see that as a board or a commission under the governor, him or herself. We see this as the legislature allowing this to happen. We want to let him retain a little more power because the legislature is setting the qualifications for a separate branch through yet a third branch. We were more comfortable with that. You'll hear from the Department of Law that they feel there's a separation of powers concern here. And we feel it's a concern but not a problem, and we're trying to avoid that.
Madam Chair?
Yes, a follow-up, Senator Meyer.
Well, based on that, shouldn't this be coming from the governor's office and whatever changes that needs to be made to the personnel board?
I think there's an argument for that, and I want to point out that the drafter for this, Alpheus Bullard, I don't know if he's online right now. He could speak to that as well. We would hope it would come from the governor's office, but in absence of that, we all work together, the checks and balances
That's
of
right.
government.
Well, yeah, but Madam Chair, to follow up,
yes.
If your argument is that we can only go so far because of separation of the three branches, then instead of just nibbling at it, you know, why not go the full nine yards, or why not just let the executive branch come up with their own and then, you know, we would, pass it for them. So I guess one of my concerns is, Madam Chair, if I can follow, is that as the Chief Justice brings these list of names to the governor, he or she then can continue to say, nope, don't like that list. Nope, don't like that list. And you could go on forever and not have a personal board ever selected. So that in some ways, I guess if you're going to involve the Chief Justice, which I think is a great idea, and I think they've done a good job with the legislature and keeping the ethics board separate from us, then I would favor having the Chief Justice go the full nine yards with the executive branch as well.
Through the chair, if Representative Lynn was here, I think it's the kind of thing that he would be open to. It's the kind of thing our drafter has explained that, you know, we're somewhere in an area where we don't know how close the line is that we cross, and maybe that doesn't cross it as well by just having him give the list. It's something we've thought about. We weren't quite ready on the House side, but it's your committee if this is what you see.
Okay, We do have someone from the Department of Law online, Judy Bachman, for answering questions should we want to go there too. But do you have a follow-up, Senator Meyer?
Well, I guess my only follow-up would be, does the executive branch, the governor's office, favor this bill, promote this bill, want this bill? Do they want us to go further? Do they want us to back off? What are you getting any feedback?
Oh, yeah. Through the chair, the yes. Department of Law has been very polite, and they can speak for themselves. And having the concerns of the healthy friction of coming up with a good piece of legislation.
Okay, good.
Okay, thank you. Just I would add, fundamentally, I think it's a huge problem with all our boards and commissions that we don't have better lists, because oftentimes we put our governor in a position of nominating people for boards and commissions, and they sometimes don't even have anyone that's come forward and offered. And so I am very supportive of adding this list, because if Senator Lynn hadn't put this legislation in, I certainly was toying with the idea myself. But and I don't think it's really any fault of the governor's. We're all busy. And if you feel really passionate about ethics, as I do, then you start getting with the drafter and coming up with some legislation. And it certainly allows the conversation to happen, and that's why we're here today. So do you have any other comments that you'd like to make?
Through the chair, I'd just like to point out one thing. When you look at other boards and commissions, you see a lot of where people are doing nominating lists for the governor. Mm-hmm. I think it's interesting to note that the Alaska Public Offices Commission has 5 members, for example, and 4 of them come directly from the Central Committee of Political Parties. And this is a commission under the governor that's allowing political parties to forward names. To me, I would be concerned that that was a separation of power issue. So I think it's consistent with those kind of boards and commissions, these kind of qualifying lists.
Well, and this isn't really off topic. One of the strongest reasons people don't put their names forward is APOC, too. They have to. A lot of your great leaders in the state have been pretty successful, and they have to expose everything they've made, any properties they own, and it becomes an issue of privacy. And so I think we're digging a hole even more as we go forward with, you know, very qualified, successful people being on these boards. But anyway, do you have any comments?
Madam Chair.
Yes, Senator Meyer.
Yeah, Madam Chair, and I think part of the blame is the legislature, too, because, you know, they're volunteering their time to be on these boards and commissions, and then just like what happened last week, you know, we bring up their resume, we bring up their pros and cons, and not everybody wants to have that public like that. So it's, it is tough to... I admire and respect everybody who serves on these boards and commissions, because you get a little glory and a lot of pain.
Okay, thank you very much, Michael. And we'll go ahead now. I'm going to go ahead to off-net. Judy Bachman from Department of Law.
Yes.
Have you been able to hear the testimony from the sponsor's staff loud and clear?
Yes, I did.
Did you want to make any comments at this time or weigh in?
No, I was simply here because I am the ethics attorney, and I was asked to be here in case there's some questions that came up about the board's role in the ethics complaint process, and I am not the principal person that signed this bill, and I don't have any prepared comments. Thank you.
Okay, thank you very much. And does anyone have any questions for Judy? Okay, then I guess in the audience we have Doug Wolver from Alaska Court System. Would you come forward and state your name, please? And I'd like to welcome Senator French. Welcome to State Affairs. I know you've been doing double duty.
We're all busy. Thank you, Madam Chair. Good morning.
We appreciate we did switch days, so.
Not a worry.
Good morning, Madam Chair, members of the committee. I'm Doug Wolver. I'm the administrative attorney for the Alaska court system. As is generally the case, the court doesn't support or oppose legislation. But this is kind of like one of those cases when you're voting on an issue and you say you're going to vote for it, but you have some concerns. This is kind of where we are. We don't oppose the bill, but we do the court is generally uncomfortable being in the position of forwarding names. There's a history of the court doing this. We do it for, like, it has already been mentioned, since 1986. We've forwarded names for legislative confirmation for the Legislative Ethics Committee. And I agree with Senator Meyer. I think that system has worked well, that the nominees are, I think they do a good job, and they're confirmed by legislature. We also, the Chief Justice makes the fifth selection for the redistricting board. And that's can be a politically awkward decision to make, but we do that as well. So there is a history for us doing this, and this is very similar. This is a similar role for the executive branch, at least a portion of the ethics decisions related to the governor and lieutenant governor, and I think the attorney general. Or it's just uncomfortable. We just want you to know this isn't a role we cherish. Like my friend Mike Zika said, reluctant impartiality is sums it up pretty well. This board is a little bit different than the Legislative Ethics Committee because it does more than just ethics. It has also somewhat limited but still oversight role for entire personnel in the executive branch. They are the entity that gives the final approval to the Personnel Act or the personnel rules for the entire executive branch. They make some decisions related to who's in the classified service and who's in the exempt service for employees. So even a kind of an indirect and minor role in the personnel management of another branch is something the court's just uncomfortable with. We don't oppose it. We're not going to try to stop it. I haven't tried to stop it. I work closely with the sponsor and his staff. But we just wanted to put on the record that in future years, as more and more of these things come up, this isn't something we really, really love to do.
Okay.
So that's the only testimony I have.
Are there any questions?
Just to follow up, Madam Chair, if I may.
Okay, Senator Meyer.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. And Doug, thank you for that testimony. So if I understand what you're saying, for the legislature, the Chief Justice brings forward a list of names, and we just confirm them, correct? And
through the Chair, Senator Meyer, that's correct.
Okay. And as far as you know, has it been controversial, or have we not gone with the judge's selection?
Senator Meyer, when the first set of names that came up, which I think happened in 93 or 94, I think the legislature initially rejected all the applicant names and waited for a second round. But there was some kind of political maneuvering going on at how those first names got referred to the Chief Justice years ago, and there was a little bit of political wrangling. And since that time, I believe all of the names have been confirmed, and I don't believe there has been controversy. I could be wrong about that, but I generally follow these things, and I don't recall any controversy.
If I can follow up, Madam Chair.
Follow up, Senator Meyer.
Yeah, I was just going to comment. The 12 years I've been here, I've not ever seen the legislature not go with what the Chief Justice recommended. And I guess that's my concern with the way this bill's written, is that in this case, the governor, the executive branch, could say, no, we don't like that list of names, give us a different list. And, you know, this could go on and on and on. And it would all be done outside, of course, of the legislature. Is that a concern at all of yours?
Through the Chair, Senator Meyer, it could be. I guess when I first saw this bill, I assumed that probably most of the time it would work like the legislative one does. You could reject the Chief Justice's nominees. You don't. This is a little bit different, and the governor could always send names back, reject names again and again. There is that possibility. My own sense is that's probably unlikely, but I don't really know.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, thank you. Depends how reasonable the governor is, right? You don't have to answer that. Okay, let's see. Next we'll go with Mike Ford. Thank you for your testimony, Doug. Mike Ford, Department of Law, would you? Okay, certainly. So we have Mr. Neal. Yeah. State your name for the record, please.
Uh, Senator Menard and members of the committee, my name is Mike Ford, and I'm here today on behalf of the Department of Law. We wanted to raise two concerns. First of all, while we respect Representative Lynn's bill and the intent behind it, we believe there are two issues the committee should be aware of. The first one is a legal one that concerns separation of powers. The existing provisions of the Constitution, Article 3, Section 26, provides a process. And the process is a fairly simple one. The governor appoints members. The legislature confirms those members. So the intent of this bill is to add a third step, and it's the step at the beginning of the process. The Chief Justice would first select people, then the governor would appoint, then the legislature would confirm. The problem that we have with that is that the cleanest way to do this is to amend the Constitution. And, of course, you cannot do that with a bill from the legislature. You have to do it by resolution, improvement by the voters. So we feel that by imposing the statutory restriction on the governor's power here, you raise the separation of powers question. The last effort to change the process was actually some 35 years ago in the mid-70s when the legislature attempted to change the confirmation process and to expand that process to include some deputy commissioners and some division directors. Now, that was litigated in the case of Bradner v. Hammond. The court struck down that statute and found that that was beyond the power of the legislature to amend the process in that fashion. We feel the same problem exists here, where you are actually attempting to restrict the governor's power of appointment by requiring the Chief Justice to first come up with the list. So that's the first issue. The second issue goes to the actual effect on the process, because we feel to some degree the target is misplaced here. If you look at the last few years where we've actually had complaints against the governor, ethics complaints and concerns, those issues have not been resolved by the personnel board. So if this actually became law, we expanded the board, we added the Chief Justice to the process, and the same evolution occurred, it's actually an independent counsel that has ruled on these complaints, not the personnel board. So we feel that the process would actually be the same, even though you make these changes. So that's the second concern that we have. And with that, I'll stop and answer questions.
Do you have an opinion on going from three members to five?
I don't think that's a legal concern. The personnel board chair is here, director of personnel is here, Nikki Neal. And I don't know if, Bill, do you have any comments on changing the number?
Could you state your name, please, for the record and your affiliation?
Yes, Madam Chair. Bill Milks from the Department of Law. And on that number, no, I don't have any comments. I don't see a legal issue. Perhaps the director of personnel who serves as the board's secretary may have a comment. I don't from a legal perspective.
Okay. Senator Meyer, did you?
Yes. Thank you, Madam Chair. If this bill was to come to us at the request of the governor, which we do from time to time, would that satisfy some of your legal concerns?
I think not. I think regardless of the source of the change, I mean, I think if the governor puts the bill up, we would have concluded it is not a legal issue.
Okay. So it doesn't matter if we, Madam Chair, if we brought it forward, correct, or the governor brought it forward, you still have some concerns with us taking this action.
We would not propose legislation unless we felt there was substantial legal standing for it.
And Madam Chair, if I could
follow up, Senator French. Meyer.
Yeah, if I could just follow up on another concern. I think, you know, the main reason this is coming up was that there was all sorts of frivolous
lawsuits,
ethics charges brought forward. And, of course, they're not frivolous to the person who brings them up, but they were later found to be basically frivolous. Many of them, not all of them. So the concern is that if these weren't maybe made public until after the ethics board ruled, there wouldn't be quite so many ethics charges brought forward to start with. But it's my understanding that they have to be public. I'd like to get that on the record.
This is Mike Ford again. I think that what you're asking, Senator, is how do you maintain the confidentiality of an ethics complaint? And we've looked at that very carefully. The problem that we have is that we also have to balance that out with a person's rights of free speech. Mm-hmm. And we feel that, for example, the legislative process requires a complaint be dismissed if confidentiality is breached. There have been suggestions that we should incorporate that same approach into the executive side. We have serious concerns about that also. So I don't have an answer for you. I think it is unfortunate when a complaint does become public before it should. And the law clearly says that they are confidential and should not be disclosed. But when we have, but we cannot come up with actually a solution for that problem.
Madam Chair.
Yes, follow-up, Senator.
And even though we're comparing executive branch with the legislative branch, they are very much different branches. I mean, everyone on the legislative branch are elected officials, and so the temptation to, you know, bring forward an ethics charge based on political reasons is maybe a little greater than, let's say, if you're bringing it against the Attorney General or the DNR Commissioner or et cetera. I guess there's only two elected officials at the executive branch. But I think that's what brought a lot of this to where we're at today, was just because of all the media and the public attention that was given to some of these ethics charges that ended up not being substantial. So.
If I could comment, Madam Chair, again, I think one thing to remember is that if this bill did become law, the process does not change, as we have seen it unfold in the past. The independent counsel will weigh in first to determine if there's any validity to the complaint. And if it is, then it goes forward. But in the past, those complaints were dismissed. So the fact that we expand the personnel board, that we add provisions about misconduct or things they cannot do, the changes we're contemplating here, assuming we follow the same path, there will be no difference. Now, whether that means there's a difference in the view of the public, I don't know.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay, thank you very much. And next I'll bring up Nikki Neal. Nikki, would you please come forward and state your name for the record and your affiliation?
Thank you, Madam Chair. My name is Nikki Neal. I'm the Director of the Division of Personnel and Labor Relations, and I serve as the Secretary to the Personnel Board.
And you've heard the testimony we've been having so far. Is there something you could add to it?
I don't have a lot to add, no, Madam Chairman. We're neutral on the bill. You'll see that we did prepare a zero fiscal note. Mm-hmm. And the reason why that is zero, even though there's an increase in members, is that the board is, you know, based on, are there volunteers? And we typically meet quarterly, unless there's other business in the interim, and there was for a period of time, but it has tapered off. And they typically, their preference is to meet over the noon hour. So meetings don't often last more than 1 to 2 hours, so we typically do them by teleconference.
Okay.
Opposed to traveling members that are outside of the Anchorage area.
Are there any questions from my committee members? Okay. Seeing none, I'm going to go ahead. I do have a Ledge Legal.
One question for her. Can I ask?
Oh, yeah. Oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead. Senator Meyer.
And I'm sorry. And it's probably in my packet here somewhere. Do they serve 4 years and two executive terms? Or how does that work? What's their?
I believe it's six years.
Okay.
Through the chair. Yeah.
Okay. And then can they serve more than 1 6-year term, or is it?
Through the chair, yes, they can serve more than one term.
Is it two or multiple, or does it matter?
You know, I'm not certain that there's a limit. I don't recall a limit.
Yeah.
I know we do have one member in our second term now.
Okay. Yeah, and the only reason why I asked, Madam Chair, is just that I think it is good to have turnover on the board. And so if somebody can be there for 25 years, for example, that might be something we want to look at. But thank you.
Okay, thank you very much, Nikki. Alphetus Bullard from Ledge Legal is online for questions. Did you have anything that you would like to add to our testimony, or are you just here to for questions?
Members of the committee, this is Alpheus Fullard of Ledge Legal, and I'm available for questions.
Okay, thank you very much.
Madam Chair?
Yes, please, Senator French.
Thank you. I understand this bill comes to Judiciary Committee next, and I guess I would just to speak to Mr. Bullard and tell him that I'd be interested in his views on the separation of powers arguments raised by the Department of Law this morning, because I think they're certainly worth considering. Thank you.
And I concur with that. Are there any other comments? Okay, I'm going to go ahead and close public testimony then, and do my committee members have any questions or comments? What is the will of the committee on this? Okay, go ahead.
Madam
yes,
Chair,
yes.
I think there are some major legal concerns here. The separation of powers is one of them, but we are not the Judiciary Committee, so I don't know if that's something we should address. It does make me a bit uncomfortable without knowing that, but I guess I'm okay passing this from this committee to Judiciary, knowing that the Judiciary Chairman is right here. Mm-hmm. So essentially, what we're doing then is just allowing the
conversation to go forward.
Okay. We're going from 3 to 5 members, and then we're allowing the Chief Justice to recommend a list. You're right, Madam Chair. I think it deserves to have the judiciary scrutiny. So,
are there any objections to that? Okay, then do I have a motion? Hearing no objections, go ahead, please.
Okay.
Senator Meyer.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Madam Chair, I move that we move CS for House Bill 348 from committee with individual recommendations and the attached zero fiscal note.
Okay. Hearing no objections, then House Bill 348 moves out of State Affairs to Senate Judiciary. We are adjourned.